Good morning to everyone. Good to see everybody out today. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll study from this one verse there in verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 this morning. Again, we appreciate all the visitors that we have with us today. A lot of visitors, a lot of visitors. It's always an encouragement here at St. James when we have people that stop by to worship with us, knowing that God is first in their hearts, otherwise they'd be out doing something else. And that is what we need to be prepared to do in this life, is to worship God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, it says, "Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." I want to look at the things that are mentioned here, the three things that are mentioned here that abide: faith, hope, love. Paul, as he is ending his writing about love and how important that love is and what love is, as he defines it throughout these verses here in chapter 13, he mentions that these things abide: faith, hope, and love. What does it mean to abide? Abide can mean a few different things, but I believe what is talked about here, the idea of abiding, is to stay or stand or to continue, something that is firm. So as we see here, Paul, as he writes, he's talking about faith, hope, and love. And we're going to be talking about each one of these this morning. In this, as we go through the latter part, we're going to see in abiding in love our love for God and Christ, our love for our brethren, our love for work and service unto God. So, abiding faith. Turning over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. In the first part of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, faith is defined. Verse 1, it says, "Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So what is faith? It's substance. Substance of things hoped for, or the confidence of the things that are hoped for. And it's evidence or conviction or test of the things not seen. God has promised us great and wonderful things if we will obey Him. But we have to have faith in them because we can't see them. And going down to verse 6 of this Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him," that is God. "For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Several things that we can learn here about faith in this verse, in verse 6 of chapter 11. It's not possible to please God without it. That we must believe that God is. God exists. He is. He's a creator. He's a living God. He has been, He is eternal. There's no start to God. There's no end to God. God has always been. And we must believe that He is. And for those that diligently seek Him, that He rewards those. In Luke 17th chapter and verse 5, the apostles, as they were with Jesus, said, "Increase our faith." And that is one thing that we need to have in our minds, is to try to increase our faith. Remember, it's thinking about the things that are hoped for, thinking about the things that are not seen, and building up in our minds that faith that God has those promises that God has given us do truly exist. The apostles were seeking better faith, if you will. And that faith comes by turning over to Romans chapter 10. That faith comes by the Word of God. This is where we find out what God has for us. In the 10th chapter of Romans, verse 17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Our faith comes only from God's Word, because anything else would be without substance. If it's from God, it's in His Word. And we can have confidence in that faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 5 beginning, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5 beginning, it says, "Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight." God has prepared us through His Word to be confident in our walk, to be confident by faith in our walk. And that is not in our own selves that we have faith, but it is in Christ, as we see in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul, as he is writing to the Galatians, he's talking about in verse 20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." So our confidence, our faith, is not in ourselves, but it is in Christ. And again, it is through the Word of God. And through our faith, we will have victory in Christ. Over in 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So we can see here, as far as faith, the abiding faith is concerned, that we cannot please God without having faith. And we need to increase our faith constantly, relying upon the Word of God, because therein is where we find our faith, is through hearing the Word of God. And we can have confidence in that faith. And it's not in ourselves, but in Christ, for victory is in Christ. So that is the abiding faith. Let's go to the hope. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What is hope? Before we read Romans chapter 8, hope has been defined as desire with expectation. Desire with expectation. So what is Paul writing about in Romans chapter 8? Beginning in verse 20, let's begin in verse 23 here. "Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Or why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So, hope, again, is desire and expectation. If we see something, if we have something, there's no longer a need for hope. But we do not, in looking forward to what God has promised to us, a home in heaven, we don't see that yet. We won't see that until the final judgment. That's when it will all be revealed, and then it no longer becomes hope. But now we have that hope of seeing it in the future. We are eagerly waiting for it, as we see in verse 23 there. Waiting for that promise that God has given us. And we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We need to be patient. We need to endure to the end. And it comes again, as we see in Romans 15, through a knowledge, a comfort in the Spirit, in the Scriptures, of Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Again, we see our hope is based in the Scriptures, and we can have patience or endurance and hope to the end. And that hope is an anchor as we go over to Hebrews chapter 6 here. That hope is an anchor. Hebrews chapter 6. Just as Abraham, and it's written there about Abraham beginning in verse 13, Abraham was receiving a promise from God. In verse 13 it says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." But Abraham had a promise set before him. And so we have hope set before us. We can put our... it can be our anchor for our soul, as we see in verse 19. The hope, the promise of eternal life with God. Verse 19 of Hebrews 6. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence before the veil. And again, our hope is grounded not in ourselves, but in that promise of God. That anchor. And that hope is living. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, this living hope is founded upon the resurrection of the Son of God. Beginning in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance," and this is a hope, "incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So that living hope is founded upon the resurrection of the Son of God. And it is in Him. 1 John 3 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. And it says, "And everyone who has this hope in Him," that's in God, in Christ, "purifies himself just as He is pure." So what do we have? As children of God, we must be pure. So looking at the things that we can have in an abiding hope, it's a redemption of our body. The patience and comfort of Scriptures. The anchor for our soul is this hope. It's a living hope. And that hope is in Christ. The last one we want to look at is love, the abiding love, first of all for God. In Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 and 38, Jesus said to him, and this is to a lawyer that had come to him and asked him, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, verse 37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. We must first have an abiding love for God. Over in 1 John 4, beginning in verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We must have an abiding love for God. Secondly, we must have an abiding love for Christ. Over in John the 14th chapter, verse 23, Jesus says this, after Judas, not Iscariot, it says in verse 22, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So we must love Christ. We must keep His Word. And that's a show of our love for Christ. Over in Ephesians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 17, going up to verse 14 to begin the thought, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He may grant you, according to the riches of His glory, and to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Our love for Christ is necessary, and then the love of Christ is upon us. In the sixth chapter of Ephesians, in verse 24, Paul ends this letter to the Ephesians. He says, grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And we must love the brethren. In fact, Jesus, over in the 13th chapter of John, gives a new commandment, he says, in verse 34. John 13:34, it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And also over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 John 3 and verse 16. It says this, by this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we're showing love to one another when we, as it says here, lay down our lives for our brethren. So we love God. We must have an abiding love for God, abiding love for Christ, abiding love for our brethren. We also must love our work and service unto God in this. Turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the last verse in that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15:58, Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We must have an abundance of work, abounding work, that we remain steadfast and immovable. The work of the Lord. In Hebrews 12 and verse 28, our service unto God must be with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12 and verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And last, let's look at Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14 and verse 13, it says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Going back to verse 12 here in Revelation 14, it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And then verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. So our works will be known unto God and our service will be known to Him and we will be rewarded accordingly. So, what is our abiding faith, hope, and love? Do we have that in our hearts? Does it abide? Is our faith strong? Do we remember or have a hope that is secure and an anchor for our soul? And is our love strong for God, for Christ, for our brethren, for our work and service? Can we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 now and look at that and say that we do have abiding faith and hope and love? Where do we stand this morning? And do we stand on our own or do we stand with God and standing on that firm foundation that He has given, that firm hope that do we have a faith that is solid? And do we love God and Christ and our brethren? Let us think on these things this morning. If you're not a child of God, we'd ask that you would think about and consider the gospel that has been presented in the Scriptures. Only in God's Word can we find out what we need to do in order to be saved, to have our sins forgiven. We must study that and learn from it and believe. Once we believe, that's going to have us to change our way of living, which means that we're going to repent. Repent of our sins, change, and turn towards God. That's repentance. And once we have repented, we need to confess Jesus as the Son of God. And upon that confession, be baptized that our sins might be washed away. To be immersed in water. That's what baptism is, to be immersed in water. And once you rise from that watery grave to walk in newness of life, that we continue on faithfully through our lives, that we might be pleasing unto God. If you have started that walk, but you have fallen away, we ask that you would also come back. Please repent and ask forgiveness. If it's a private thing, go to God in prayer in private. If it's a public thing that needs a public confession, please do that, that we might help and pray for you. If you are in need of anything this morning, we ask that you come forward as we stand and sing.